Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Mars Mills, riding around. Welcome to the weekend edition of Cut the Shock Entertainment Report. I am Beth, a.k.a. Be True. And so thank you for spending, if not the entire live episode, the time that you do spend with Cut the Shock Entertainment Report. And just thank you so much. For your support and constructive criticism and feedback and love also. And wow, sending much love and many prayers and condolences to the widow and loved ones and family of the Last Dragons, Leo O'Brien. Wow. And also, breaking news happened this evening regarding a Mississippian. You know, he's not a native Mississippian, but when he fell in love with Mississippian, yeah, he has literally been a Mississippian in our hearts. And that's Gary Collins. So Gary Collins, passed away early this morning. Oh, wow. But again, appreciate your feedback and support. Tonight we're profiling Bob Johnson, the first African-American self-made billionaire, and also profile of Bob Johnson's life as being the creator of BET, Black Entertainment Lifestyle. Not lifestyle, television, Black Entertainment Television. Please excuse me. But also, I just want to shout out to all, to the entire BTR community also. There are some awesome shows that are broadcasting right now and will be broadcasting this weekend. So be sure to check out other BTR shows, especially if you haven't listened to any other shows. It's just amazing. Really, it is. Also, you can call in at 714-409-0614. And have you all been keeping up with the debate? Now, the VP debate, that's the only debate we'll see among the VP candidate and our student vice president. But it's been amazing watching the debates. Can't wait till the town hall meeting style behind. I just can't wait. Super excited. Today, big shout out to the Mississippi State Fair. Shout out to Mississippi GOP. Today was my last day of volunteering at the Mississippi GOP.org booth. And we've not been having a blast. Oh, yes. It's been so much fun interacting with those of you who love America. It's been a blast for real. Well, here's Andre Simone. So I'll just be running and rambling my mouth. Here's Andre Simone, America.
I'm goodness gracious, I'm in Jamaica right now.
Yuma! Listen up!
Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, did a backflip, then I landed in an opera. I rep that fucking Prada, I came from the water. See world high fashion, I'm looking like Madonna. Young Casey Munch, guns, stunts, no license, can't no more. Creeping down the street, and I'm bumping fucking reggae songs. Nine piece, eight balls, chirping on my cellophone. Posted in Jamaica, smoking hella bone. Get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice, then you stir it up. Get some rum, add some coconut, add some fruit juice, then you stir it up. And now I'm feeling so tropical. Long hair, and it's coming out my follicle. Try me, it ain't logical. Rock too much, iced out, I'm looking like a popsicle. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, pounding down some vodka, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama, smoking like a Rasta, posted in Jamaica, rolling up Obama. Bahama Mama.
Trying to be a gentleman, she wants me back again.
Oh, I tried so hard
to be as faithful, but I wasn't able. Now it's more painful. Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind. Don't make me choose to be here without you. There's no room to fit.
No room to
when
fit.
You fall in a kid, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between,
caught in
and
between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
What is Fernandez toi?
My dreams will get shot down. I'm late to the showdown.
Troubles all around.
Love for the shepherd who left from the shelter to try to find better.
Oh, the grass seems green on the other side, and I don't want to see what I have to leave behind.
Don't make me choose to begin without you. There's no room for this.
No room
when you fall in a kid, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between,
caught in between.
Both can be mean. I gotta choose one, but with you it's more fun.
What is Fernandez toi?
Yeah.
What is Fernandez toi?
Yeah.
What is Fernandez toi?
it's a banana.
Oh, now I'm happy in the symphony, and I know I can choose who to have here next to me. It's a three-way race to my destiny, and I just pray and fear that my heart will speak to me. Until then, I'm just gonna give up. There's no room to fear.
No room to
when
fear.
You fall in a kid, we find that true love can be with more than one. I'm caught in between.
Caught in between.
Oh, can't be me. Gotta choose one, but we're two with more fun.
One is for not just one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
One is for not just one.
Yeah, yeah.
One is for not just one.
Hey, 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 hey.
One is for not just one.
Yeah, yeah.
One is for not just one.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
One is for not just one.
Yeah, yeah.
One is for not just one.
It's for not just one. I love that song. I love it when it's like that breakdown and it sounds like the song might be over and then it's not. It's just so awesome. Cool, super cool, super cool. Austin Brown, for real. Wow. This is just something. I mean, really. Leo Bryan, Gary Collins. Wow. Rest in peace. Man, sad, really. But let's, wow. I have, it's not, well, Leo's widow really appreciate all of our condolences and hugs. And she will be keeping us updated also. Regarding any pertinent information that many of us need in regards to funeral arrangements or memorials and so on. I just want to let you all know that because he was definitely a cool friend, prayer of mine. I mean, he just amazed me how he cared about others and prayed for others. And it was always so important to him for others to have a good relationship with God. And so I just wanted to share that with you all regarding that. She definitely appreciates our concern and the many just outpour of condolences and of obvious how much people care, and we'll definitely be keeping everyone updated also in that regard. So, wow, I know, it's just, wow. And I'm really pretty much, wow, it was, you know, a year ago he was shot. And miraculously, through prayer and support and good doctors, recovered from that. So, it's so important. But to show, I'm generally speaking now, to show how much we really care for one another in regards to just how things are. You never know. You just never know. It's important to embrace and hug those that you care for. Let those that you support and love, from your close relatives to celebs, non-celebs, let people know how much you truly, truly care. Because we don't know. We don't know when our time is up on us. And wow. Wait. Here's DJ Schwan and Complete J / Up. Wow, Rip It Up. And, man, he's always dropping good music. He dropped some good tracks, like within the past couple of days, in which I need to download so I can add to the playlist. So DJ Swan is located. He's based in San Antonio, Texas, and he is awesome. We'll be right back. Hamilton. Awesome. I'm checking out an article from August of this year from Huffington Post Social. And it says that BET founder Robert Johnson and Tracy Edmonds said to launch new faith-based YouTube channel. And it goes on to say, over 32 years since launching Black Entertainment Television, Robert Johnson, alongside RLJ Companies Group, is planning on venturing into digital media with the announcement of his new faith-friendly channel, All Right TV. The channel, which will be led by Tracy Edmonds, a big shout-out to Tracy, too. Tracy's so cool. And hosted on YouTube, is said to feature inspirational programming geared towards family-related issues. All Right TV will offer first-rate buzzworthy content in the areas of comedy, reality, self-help music, and talk that promises to empower and entertain family audiences of all ethnicities and socioeconomic backgrounds. Now that's really important. And it goes on to say, Edmund said in a press release, Bob and I are very excited to move forward with our vision and commitment to provide quality entertainment into the digital arena. I'm delighted to work with Bob and YouTube in this innovative relationship. In addition to the launch of All Right TV, Johnson, the former majority owner of the NBA franchise Charlotte Bobcats, also created one of the largest global independent distributors of digital and video content earlier this year with the formation of RLJ Entertainment, resulting from his acquisition of Image Entertainment and Acorn Media Group. Johnson believes the channel will further extend RLJ Entertainment position in media. I am very excited about the opportunity to be in a business relationship with YouTube, Johnson said in the release. YouTube's commitment to providing a broad array of diversified producer-generated content on YouTube will present an exciting opportunity for consumers and advertiser sponsorship. Johnson added, the RLJ Companies is proud to be in association with YouTube, and we look forward to expanding that relationship as we complete the acquisition of Image Entertainment, Inc., and Acorn Media, Inc., under RLJ Entertainment. And that is just really awesome. Wow. All Right TV and the other ventures. That is just amazing. That's a good thing also. So, wow. So I'm tweeting this article out because some of you might have missed it, but I'm sure many of you have checked this article out from this past August. And that is just great news. Which, you know, Tracy and Bob work, Tracy has the company Our Stories, where they produce amazing films. So I'm tweeting this out, so if you hear me sound a little hesitant, I'm tweeting and posting this out so you can read the articles and other information for yourself. So this is good thing right here. Okay. Go ahead and like it for Facebook and continue on. And again, thank you so much for supporting the show. Remember, on Monday, the guest will be Neil Thakkar, a longtime Facebook friend of mine, very inspirational guy, really cool guy, which is a successful real estate investor. And also, he coaches others. And he'll be the guest Monday morning, beginning at 5:30, from 5:30 to 7. And be sure to tune in. Don't miss it. Network with him. Add him as a Facebook friend on Facebook. Follow him on Twitter, Neil_T. And he will be talking about his career, his successful career as a real estate investor. And also, like I said before, feel free to call in, chime in, and ask questions, and also talk with us via the chat room, okay? Because I'm super excited. I really am. Well, here is more about our Robert L. Johnson, who happens to be a native of Hickory, Mississippi. And he was born on April 8, 1946. And he's, again, a media entrepreneur and a founder of Black Entertainment Television. He was the first African-American self-made billionaire. Not self-made millionaire, but self-made billionaire. And, again, this is courtesy of Wikipedia. Robert L. Johnson is an American business magnate, best known for being the founder of television network Black Entertainment Television, BET, is also its former chairman and chief executive officer. Johnson is currently chairman and founder of RLJ Development and former majority owner of the Charlotte Bobcats, a National Basketball Association franchise, along with rapper Nelly, an NBA legend, and current majority owner Michael Jordan. In 2001, Johnson became the first African-American billionaire, the very first Black person to be listed on any Forbes World Rich List, excluding Black Canadian billionaire Michael Lee Chin, who first appeared on the list the same year, who is of mixed Black and Chinese ancestry. Biography: Johnson was born in Hickory, Mississippi, again on April 18, 1946, but spent almost all of his childhood in Freeport, Illinois. He was the ninth of 10 children born to Edna and Archie Johnson. Johnson graduated from Freeport High School in 64. He studied history at the University of Illinois and graduated in 1968 with a bachelor's degree. While at the University of Illinois, Johnson was a member of the Beta chapter of Kappa Alpha Psi fraternity. He earned a master's degree in International Affairs from the Woodrow Wilson School of Public and International Affairs at Princeton University. For 33 years, from 1969 to 2002, he was married to Sheila Johnson. Together, they founded the entertainment network BET, which sold the company to Viacom in 2001. They have two children, a daughter, Paige, who was born in 86, and a son, Brett Johnson, whom was born in 1990. Business career. In 79, he left NCTA to create Black Entertainment Television, the first cable television network aimed at African Americans. It was launched in January 1980, initially broadcasting for 2 hours a week. In 91, BET became the first Black-controlled company listed on the New York Stock Exchange. As of 07, BET reaches more than 65 million U.S. homes and expanded into the BET-related television channels that make up the BET network, BETJ and digital cable channels, BET Hip Hop and BET Gospel. In 2002, Johnson took that company private, buying back all of its publicly traded stock. In 2003, BET was no longer a Black-owned business, with Viacom bought BET for $3 billion. Johnson's 63% stake made him worth over $1 billion after taxes, making him the richest Black person in the United States until surrendering the title to Oprah Winfrey. When then-wife Sheila Johnson claimed much of his billion in divorce, Johnson continued to be the company's chairman and CEO for 6 years. In 2005, Johnson turned over the titles of president and chief operating officer of BET to Deborah L. Lee, a former BET vice president. Second ad, RLJ Companies. Upon selling BET, Johnson started the RLJ Companies, which he calls his second act. Johnson's goal is to create a premier holding company and set management firm run by a minority business person. The RLJ Companies is a diverse portfolio of companies in the financial services, real estate, hospitality, professional sports, film production, automotive and gaming industries, an innovative business network the RLJ companies need to target undiscovered or underserved markets, then exercise solid management to achieve results. The RLJ companies is headquartered in Bethesda, Maryland, with operations in Charlotte, North Carolina, Los Angeles, California, Orlando, Florida, Little Rock, Arkansas, Mexico, and San Juan, Puerto Rico. The RLJ company's core business include RLJ Development, a privately held hotel real estate investment company, RLJ Lodge and Fund 2, and RLJ Real Estate Fund 3, both of which are private equity real estate funds. The three together have over $2 billion in combined assets and conditional purchasing power of nearly $4 billion. Rollover Systems, a financial services company, providing retirement planning services based in Charlotte, North Carolina. RLJ Equity Partners, a private equity that seeks to expansion capital and buy out investment opportunities in six industries. RLJ Select Investments, a multi-strategy hedge fund of funds platform. Urban Trust Holdings, a company that holds Urban Trust Bank, a federal thrift institution with operations in Florida, Washington, D.C., and Maryland, and a nationwide credit card operation. The NBA Charlotte Bobcats and Charlotte Arena Operations. Our Stories Films, a film production company based in Los Angeles. Caribbean Gaming and Entertainment, a.k.a. Cage, a video lottery gaming company based in Puerto Rico with operations in St. Kitts and Barbados, and RLJ McLarty Landers Automotive Group. Then there are the other ventures. Johnson also serves on the boards of General Mills. He is the first Black American to be the principal owner of a North American Major League sports franchise. He and minority investor Michael Jordan led the group that acquired the Charlotte Bobcats NBA expansion franchise, which began in the fall of 2004. Until December 2006, he also owned the Charlotte Sting of the WNBA. However, he gave up his ownership of the Sting when the WNBA was unable to find a buyer. The team folded on January 3, 2007. On February 26, 2010, Johnson entered into a definite agreement to sell the Bobcats to Jordan, who served as head of basketball operations under Johnson's ownership. Terms of the agreement were not immediately available. In the brief statement Johnson gave the media, Johnson had been seeking a buyer for months, and there was another group bidding to buy the team. The NBA Board of Governors unanimously approved itself to Jordan on March 17, 2010, and Johnson planned to remain as minority investor in Jordan's ownership group. In the late 2006, Johnson founded Our Stories Films, a Los Angeles-based film company. His partner is Harvey Weinstein, whose own new enterprise, the Weinstein Company, will serve as a distributor. J.P. Morgan Chase invested $175 million into Our Stories. His private equity fund is financed partly by the Washington-based Carlyle Group, while his hedge fund has backing from Deutsche Bank. Father Johnson has recently petitioned for a license to place a new cable network known as UTV on Ion Group's network, which will hold a 49% stake, while RJ Companies will hold a 51% stake in the company. The network, Johnson said, will not only focus on the Black community, but will be a multifaceted network. In 2007, Johnson was so inspired by the new Liberian president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, that he and delegation of several Black American leaders toured Liberia and committed to revitalizing the historic relationship between Black Americans and the war-torn country. This led to the creation of the $30 million Liberia Enterprise Development Fund. Months later, Johnson wrote a controversial letter to the Washington Post advocating that the new AFRICOM military command be based in Liberia. Johnson has also called for African Americans to support Liberia like Jewish Americans support Israel. He was inducted into the Junior Achievements U.S. Business Hall of Fame in 2008. I love Junior Achievements. I remember my last year, half a year in school, I was voted vice president of my junior achievement, vice president of production during my junior achievement project. I just wanted to share that. On October 24th, OA Barbados Daily Nation newspaper revealed the cabinet of Barbados named Robert Johnson as the honorary consul to North and South Carolina. Okay, his involvement in the OA Democratic presidential primary. And OA Johnson became the target of criticism for remarks he made to supporters of Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama. Johnson said, as an African American, I am frankly insulted that the Obama campaign would imply that we are so stupid that we would think Bill and Hillary Clinton would have been deeply and emotionally involved in black issues when Barack Obama was doing something in the neighborhood that I won't say what he was doing. But he said it in his book. The statement was widely interpreted as criticism of Obama's knowledge, use of marijuana and cocaine in his youth. The Clinton campaign denied this, admitting that the comments were referring to Obama's work as a community active organizer. In subsequent days, Johnson was roundly criticized for his comments as hypocritical given the prodigious glorification of drug use and sell by artists prominently featured on BET. On January 1708, Johnson sent Obama the following apology. I'm writing to apologize to you and your family personally for the uncalled for comments I made at a recent Clinton event. In my zeal to support Senator Clinton, I made some very inappropriate remarks for which I am truly sorry, and I hope that you accept this apology. Good luck on the campaign trail. Well, on April 4th, 08, Johnson made comments to the effect that Obama would not be the Democratic Party's leading candidate if he were not black. In support of the prior statement made by Jordan Ferraro, the late Geraldine Ferraro. He also went to say, I make a joke about Obama doing drugs, and it's, oh my God, a black man tearing down another black man. So, wow. So that's what is presented to us in Wikipedia. And again, when I share profiles of amazing people and things, it's pretty much to create a conversation. So this is just to kick off the conversation and to talk more about the projects and so on. So, big shout out to Tracy Edmonds because I know she does listen to the show when she can, either live broadcast or the archive shows. And it wouldn't it be wonderful to have Robert Johnson and also Tracy on as guests. I do know Tracy. I do not know Robert Johnson, even though he's a native Mississippian. But it would be just super, super amazing. But, you know, I love the profiling. And I see there's an article now regarding the former Mrs. Johnson. And this is from the Monterey County Herald. And I seen a profile of her on a talk show earlier this year, because I think she owns like a golfing resort in running like a golfing resort in Florida, I believe. And it's like an amazing piece of property. But I want to share this article, which just presented itself in front of me. BET co-founder Sheila Johnson takes swipe at network at Carmel Art and Film Festival. One of the founders of Black Entertainment Television came to Carmel on Friday to deliver a message of hope while aiming a critical eye at her former cable network. Sheila Johnson, who co-founded BET with her husband, her ex-husband Robert Johnson, participated in a conversation at La Playa Hotel as part of the 2012 Carmel Art and Film Festival. The four-day festival continues Saturday and Sunday at various locations throughout the peninsula. Johnson was part of the Conversations and Encounters program, which features filmmakers, art patrons, and industry professionals in formal and candid public presentations. Prior to Johnson's talk, filmmaker Susan Koch, journalist Maureen Orth, and Representative Sam Farr, D. Carmel, hosted a program at the Carmel High School Performing Arts Center marking the 50th anniversary of the Peace Corps. Koch screened several short films focused on current and former Peace Corps volunteers. Fourth and Far were featured in two of the shorts as examples of Peace Corps volunteers who had gone on to successful professional careers. The Johnson Conversation was hosted by Aaron Clark, the KSBW news anchor who, along with her husband, Thomas Burns, co-founded the film festival, which is in its fourth year. She really is in Oprah's league, Clark said, of Johnson. Among Johnson's numerous distinctions, she is the owner of the Washington Mystics franchise of the Women's National Basketball League and is a minority owner of the National Hockey League, Washington Senators, and the Washington Wizards of the National Basketball Association. We've been excited that Sheila came to the festival, Clark said, that someone of her accomplishment would come to a small festival like ours, and only our fourth year is a great boost. Johnson's talk covered her early days, one of the daughter of an African-American neurosurgeon who, due to discrimination of the time, could not own his own practice. Her father worked for the Veterans Administration, which forced the family to move around a lot. Johnson inherited a love of the arts and music from her parents, both trained musicians. She studied at the Music Conservatory in Chicago and eventually earned a full scholarship to study music at the University of Illinois. Her second act included founding BET with Robert Johnson and the owner of NBA's Charlotte Bobcats. Sheila Johnson said her proudest achievement with BET was producing the show Teen Summit, which ran from 1989 to 2002. That was an awesome show. And I used to love their live sweat game broadcast also. The live show brought together dozens of youth from the D.C. area where BET was based to discuss issues of the day from violence to teen pregnancy. Johnson said the Clinton administration picked the show to lead a nationwide campaign to raise awareness of teen pregnancy. All of those young people on the show became so successful because they had a voice, Johnson said. And we were talking about issues out there, and they became leaders in life. The Johnsons sold BET in 99 to Viacom. Since then, Sheila Johnson has been very open with her disdain for the network. Her biggest gripes are with music videos that reinforce negative stereotypes of young people, African Americans in particular. I think we've squandered a really important cable network, and it really could have been the voice of Black America, Johnson said. We are losing our voice as a race as a result. Johnson, who has two grown children, said parents and broadcasters need to take responsibility. And she says that I am really worried about what our young people are watching. There are so many young people who are using the television as a babysitter, she said. We have parents who are not being parents and not monitoring what their children are watching. And the author of this article is Marcos Cabrera, and you can contact Marcos Cabrera at 646-4345 and email at mcabrera@monterheyherald.com. That was a very interesting article, a great article. And because some of you might have been saying, well, what is the former Miz is doing? So I am glad that that current article presented itself. So I did just what I just did. So I guess I'll get, so that was like a 2-in-1 because they were co-founders of BET, to update information regarding the former Miz, Sheila Johnson, and also what's going on in the life of Mr. Bob Johnson, native of Hickory, Mississippi. So that was pretty much a basic profile. But I'll be posting and tweeting out articles that you can check out regarding the profile of Mr. Robert Johnson. So, like I said before, it's pretty much getting the conversation started and rolling. But I just always love just researching bios and learning a lot about people. I know many of you learned a lot just from this brief presentation on the profile of Robert Johnson, because I found out things that I did not know about. So that is pretty cool, really. So I guess we can move on and play a little bit more music and talk a little bit more entertainment news. And what's up where you are? I know you're having a good time wherever you are. You should call and let me know what's up. what are you doing? Are you watching games, football games with people on? Some of you are probably at a game or partying or just lounging or going to bed early so you can get up and go to church in the morning and all that good stuff. I see Ebony Empress is also on the line, so I know she had a great time in the U.S. I know she did. You can't tell me any difference. So we'll be talking with her in just a few minutes. If I don't know if she wants to talk, because Chris, one, Ebony Empress, I know you do want to talk. Tell us about your vacay here in the States. Here's Larry Graham featuring Prince, and after that we will talk to Ebony Empress. I love to talk to Ebony. I love listening to her show. Oh, my God. Ebony is so much fun, and her friends are a lot of fun, too. So here's Larry Graham featuring Prince. Remember, Prince, MPG, Andy O'Allo, they were originally scheduled to be on Jimmy Kimmel this past Thursday, but they will be on, they're scheduled to be on Jimmy Kimmel Live in on the 23rd. I know. So I cannot wait. And remember the presidential debate, the town hall meeting style debate will be on Tuesday also. But again, had a super blast volunteering four times at the Mississippi Republican Party booth. It's been amazing. Talk to people from all backgrounds, socioeconomic backgrounds. You all know I'm a big fan of the First Family. Talking to hardcore Obama supporters, Romney, Paul supporters, indecisive supporters, some who just everybody, people that love America. So we've been having just a good blast of a good time. Learned so much about people's views regarding this current election, just the entire political season, from local politicians to the presidential campaign that we're in the midst of. But again, big shout out to all the international listeners and supporters. You are amazing. You definitely rock. But here's Larry Graham featuring Prince, and then we're talking to Ebony Empress of Real Talk.
I'm sitting I was just acting way too hard.
Could I have you, baby?
Barefoot and pregnant, four kids in our backyard. But you went away. Wait just 1 minute. Is that the doorbell? I hear it. Please tell me you've come back home. This song I won't have to be singing.
Could I, would have done better. I know you were gonna leave. I never let you.
Would have done better.
Could have, should have, would have done better. Woo, I love me some Larry Graham. Where are the Funksters out there? I'm talking about Graham Central Station lovers, Parliament lovers, funky MPG, Prince and MPG lovers. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Here's a little snippet. It's a little snippet. We're going to talk to Ebony, but here's a little extra. A snippet of Extra Lovable by Prince.
That would make a mini brother mighty proud. Like I say it loud. You got a dozen little sexy chicks and a dozen cities in the shoe. Won't even allow. Never do you both like the other chicks who think they're fine and love to. Love to flaunt. What I did the most is that you keep it in your head until I want it.
Nominate Prince. It's time for Prince to be nominated by the board of the Hollywood Walk of Fame so he can get his star, right? Oh, yeah, it's that time. It's that time. So while we talk about political campaigns, it's time to really go hardcore with the Purple campaign and get Prince nominated, get that Hollywood Walk of Fame star. Just like it's time for kids to get inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Well, Ebony Empress says, real talk soon. But it's time to talk to Ebony Empress, our friend.
Hiya, hello.
I'm Ebony.
How are you?
How are you? Are you recovering from your amazing trip?
Oh, my God, yes, I'm recovering. You can hear the voices a little better today, but if anybody heard me, like yesterday, I sounded terrible, but I'm getting better. But I had an amazing holiday in the U.S. I had.
Yay!
Yeah.
We
amazing.
That's what we wanted to know.
I was there for 7 days, and you know what? It was one of the best holidays I've ever had.
Yay!
Oh, my God. It was so good. I landed on Wednesday, the 3rd, mm-hmm. and on the Thursday night, we had a rest. We just rested, and we didn't realize how much we would need that little rest, because on the Friday, we were partying until 3-4 in the morning, and then came back to our hotel, stayed up until 7 to 8 o'clock with people drinking, eating, talking, connecting. It was mad. And then the Friday, the Saturday, there were two parties on the Saturday. So the Saturday morning, we had like a beach party. We had a beach party. And then the Saturday night was the main party because it was my friend's birthday. He lives in Coral Gables. And we had a Saturday night party with, I think, about 100 people or something. Quite a few of us anyway. And it was rocking. It was party, party, party. It was, it was good. And we left there probably around 2 o'clock in the morning, and then went back to our hotel and hang out with people from London, but another 10 or so of us from London. We stayed up until, I don't know, it was about 7-8 o'clock in the morning, drinking Courvoisier and stuff you shouldn't be doing. It was fun. And then we tried to get to breakfast because, you know, it was struggle getting up any day. But we went to breakfast, had breakfast, and then that was Sunday. Sunday afternoon, I was going to go to Miami Carnival, but we were so tired. We were so messed up. We could not go. We were too tired. So we didn't get to Miami Carnival, but my friend had another party on Sunday night at his house in Coral Gables, and we partied until, I think it was about 2 or 3 the next morning. And then people were like, let's go back to the hotel and party again. And I was like, you know what? You lot are mad. I'm going to my bed. I am so going to my bed. I had enough. I'm tired. And they went home on Monday. But me and my niece stayed. We stayed until Wednesday.
Okay, yeah, because I've been talking about you, and I just knew you all were having a super good time.
We had super time. And Tuesday, they went on Monday, and Monday we kind of rested, but Tuesday we went to South Beach for 2 days. We just laid out on that beach and took loads of sun in, and I had some cocktails. It was lovely. And then came home on Wednesday. We flew on Wednesday afternoon about 4 o'clock, and we're back in the UK on Thursday morning. We landed about 7:30 in the morning on Thursday. And, we're depressed now because it's colder here. Not as warm, definitely not, but fresh in the UK. But not yet got to really cold, but it's kind of fresh here. So we're really missing the Miami weather. I want to relocate just for the weather alone. But you know, people are so nice as well. We had a really great time. So any of my Miami people out there listening, just to say, you people rock, proper rock, really rock. It was great.
You didn't broadcast on your Tuesdays, did you? Because I tried to catch you a couple of times.
This Tuesday gone, we did a show on Tuesday. Yeah, when I was out there, I did I put the show out. What were we talking about?
I missed your Thursday podcast because I was preoccupied. But I know Tuesday shows I tried to catch.
Yeah. Tuesday we did a show. We did a good show on Tuesday, but we did it. Don't ask me what the title is. I completely forgot now. But we did it whilst I was out there. In fact, let me remind myself what it was, because it seems like a long time now. Thursday show, we did it. We did it on Why the Hell Did I Get Married 2. So,
yeah, I've seen it on your schedule. Yeah, I need to listen to it.
Yeah, and we kind of separated up the shows, but I think I'm going to put them back to where they were. But we were trying to see if we could sort of separate them up a bit, because they're two shows and sometimes people kind of get a bit lost in, you know, and miss out. So we tried a new thing of separating it out, but I think the decision now is to put them back together. But yeah, we did one on Why Did I Get Married 2, which was the second round, and it was a really good conversation with Steve, the Dean Williams. He was part of that. And I just got home literally that day. I got home on Thursday and we did it Thursday night. So, yeah, I was a bit jet lagged. doing it. But, yeah, you know, you got to do what you got to do. But it was nice. I mean, I like
it. I thought about you the whole time. Because I even talked about you doing my broadcast and I just knew you were having a great time. Yes.
Yeah, it was amazing. I think, you know, if you travel to the UK, you may get that experience of being out of your kind of comfort zone, being with people that you don't know, you know, just experiencing something different. I think that's the thing that, you know, different food, a different climate, you know, different ways that people can be. It's nice to be able to do that.
Exactly. I'm anticipating coming to the UK. I don't know. I might call back to America and say, okay. Honestly, I mean, I have always wanted to travel there, so it's time for my first time experience, like your first time experience coming here.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to coming there also. But it's I'm so glad I knew you were gonna get treated good, but too good, wore you out, huh?
Well, you know what? I got treated so well, but it was really funny. The Thursday night, a group of my friends and they all went with the guy whose birthday it is. They went to a strip club and they didn't take me. They were like, and women went right. And they were like, no, you're too posh to go. You cannot go. It would not be appropriate for you to go. So they didn't take me. I was fine with it because I don't go. I wouldn't want to go anyway. But, you know,
But then it's good for you, the relationship expert, part of your research.
I have been to one before, so it wouldn't have been anything new for me. But it was like, wow, they left me out because they think I'm too posh. Oh, my God.
I know.
They were like, no, it's not appropriate for you to go. We decided, no. You know, everybody else can go, but I don't think it's your kind of thing and you should be there. I'm like, what the hell? What was that about?
I sound like you agree with them, but you would have liked to have been a part of the decision, the final decision, huh?
Yeah, I just wanted to be asked so I could say no, okay?
Oh, exactly.
But to not be asked, I'm like, what? I was like, did you guys really do that? They were like, yeah, we didn't take you because no, it's not your kind of thing. I was like, okay. Just to remind myself, Tuesday we talked about when I was in Miami and I did the show, is Why the Hell Did I Get Married 1? But then I did number 2 when I came back on Thursday. So that's what happened. It was good. It was good. So it wasn't Tuesday when I was there. I did the Thursday show. That's what I did. I did Thursday show on the 4th of October. We did Why the Hell Did I Get Married, and Steve and the guys were not on air because I think what happened, they thought I'm in Miami, I'm not going to do the show, But I thought, you know, I'm in Miami. Yes, I am going to do this show because, you know, it's an opportunity to do it from the U.S. So I did it on my own without
And that's what I prefer to do in my broadcast, that you were still going to do your shows. And, like, I tried to listen on Tuesdays, but I never did find it, but I knew you was in the midst of traveling, too. So,
yes,
but
I was
thinking I could find on Thursdays where I couldn't listen live. But, yeah, because I was like, that was great to be able to broadcast from here.
Oh, it was. It was. Yeah. And my friends out there who came out, everybody listened in. Because we're in recovery time when I was doing it. So people were, like, listening in, and that was fun to get some new listeners from the U.S. But, yeah, it was good. It was good. And it's good. I always say to people, go do something different. You know, take you out of what you normally do. Get away from the 9-to-5 and all the things that you are familiar with. And take a little holiday if you can. And have that break, psychological, mental break, and just do something mad. You know, do some mad stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what
and get out of that same routine. I myself have been working on that myself. And I always believed in that. But even those of us that believe in that, we get caught in the same boring routine of doing things. So how can your life be exciting and different? And how can you meet exciting different people if you're not stepping out of your zone?
And so
thank you for the advice that you do share with us, because it is important. And like you were saying, if it's not going on a vacation, leaving your area, staycation, that was something that you've been planning to do within your own city or town or community, that you should just take time out and escape and do.
Yeah. And you come back feeling refreshed, happy, ready to do something with yourself. You know, I came back and I organized an event today that went out today. I did for an organization I've been working for, and it was great, and I had the energy for it because I've had the break, you know. And it went really well. People were like, "You're so happy and positive." I said, "Because I had a lovely break. I just came back from a lovely holiday, so I'm ready to work."
It probably sparked many new, fresh ideas.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it does. It gives you new ways to look at your world as well. And now we have a global economy. So, you know, it is a time when you can look outside of where you are, because everything encourages that. The internet that we're a part of right now, you know, that allows you to look at other places and see what other people are thinking and doing. So embrace it, yeah.
Wow, so cool, so neat. So did you talk about relationships with many of those that you met in Miami? Are you? I know you didn't take a break off.
No, yeah, we did. And, you know, we had Sunday at the kind of, it was, I think it was Saturday morning, we had this beach party. And I remember sitting at a table with a group of people, and I was like, okay, they were all Americans. And I was like, right, you guys need to tell me who you're voting for, because I'm not American. I don't know what the system is out here and why you guys would vote and how you would vote. But you guys need to tell me why you're voting for who you're voting. And they just went into a big debate, and people got into it and got passionate, and it was great.
Oh, yes.
I like, okay, now I know why you're voting, how you're voting. Yeah. Because when you're from the UK, you hear the politics, but we don't really hear it from, you know, Americans on the ground, you know, as to how they feel about what's going on in your country. So it was a great opportunity for me to learn, you know, and hear and share with people, you know, their experiences of living in the States and, you know, how they'll be voting in that up-and-coming election. So, yeah.
See the emotion and the compassion and the passion.
Yeah, it all came out.
I know some people try to be stiff, and when you mention the political season, people get really emotional and really compassionate regarding that topic.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
But it was great. great to hear it and to realize that, yeah, you know, we're not so different. You know, everything, you know, we're all looking for similar things. We want a better world for our kids, you know, and it's how we get there and who we want to take us there or help us to get there. So, you know, it's useful. It was really useful to hear, you know, how people felt. And I learned so much from that. But, okay. Yeah, I was having conversations
great.
All the time. I put out the show Thursday, Why the Hell Did I Get Married? One, everybody was talking about it with me. Like, wow, why did you get to that topic? Where did that come from?
I know. And when I looked at your schedule and I was like, wow, that was the topic. Wow. Yeah. Was, you know, I'd had two marriages and, you know, I know why I got married because I was in love. The guys did ask me, but I didn't have to say yes. But I did love them, and I thought they loved me too. But they were, but it does make you ask yourself, why did I get married? And then also, I think people should ask themselves, well, we are planning to get married. If I get married for a third and last time, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
You know, and as much as you can be in love, but it takes more than being in love. You know, I'm 44 years old now, and it takes, I mean, it's important to be in love, but you want your relationship and marriage to work. So they take that extra effort and that work not just being in love. But I bet you, I have to listen to that show because I know you received a lot of interesting perspectives.
Yeah, particularly from the men. You know, our guys, I don't know, they love to call in. But we got a lot of insight from men who were married about how they felt about their marriages and how their women were in those marriages. Because the conversation was really about a conversation I overheard at work. Where, you know, where guys were talking about their wives and how, you know, it was a case that after being married for a while, the wives were no longer interested in intimacy, being intimate with these guys. And,
wow.
Yeah. And they were like, we don't know what happened. You know, when we weren't married to these women, we hadn't put a ring on the finger. They were really happy to do everything for us. You know, it was like, you know, I can't have enough sex with you. I can't look attractive enough. I want to be intimate with you. And the minute they got married, it all stopped. And, you know, and they were afraid to bring the subject up because if you complain, it becomes another story, okay? It becomes like, oh, you got a problem with me. Okay, you want to make this a problem? Well, you know, what do you want to lose in the process? Because it does, you know, they felt very much like their balls had been cut off, you know. I can't say because I don't want to upset the household. I don't want this woman to start something that will get out of control and end up in divorce. So I'm going to keep quiet about it.
Lack of intimacy can cause divorce and can cause you to get third parties into your relationship.
Yeah.
So why?
Yeah, and these guys are saying, you know, I don't want to go away and have an affair. I don't want to go and see other women. But I feel like I have no choice. And I feel like if it got presented to me, I wouldn't say no because I'm not getting what I want at home. I'm really not getting it. But, you know, women think it's okay. And I was like, wow, wow. And they were like, when you do your show, you need to bring that up on your show and see what people think. And I said, right, okay, I'm going to bring that up. And so I did. I put it up. Why the hell did I get married? And it was very, very interesting and very exciting. It was good. It was good to hear people.
I tell you, I've mentioned it on many other occasions. The guys that participate within your show, they are so open.
Oh, they are. And they're American guys as well. Not so much even British guys.
I'm talking about all of the guys, from the guy that co-hosted with you and the guys in the chat room. Man, and then I noticed some guys, your audience, the guys that I've been networked with in the chat room, they're married, single, some are gay, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just amazed, and how open some are regarding of their views regarding sexuality and romance.
Yeah, it's nice, actually. It's so nice. Because when I did the U.S. one, I was in the U.S. broadcasting, I wasn't sure if all my regular people would come on. But, what happened was one guy called in, then three of his friends called in. I was like, whoa! He's going, oh, hi to a friend. Yeah, you around? Yeah, yeah. I'm like, are these guys, you all know each other? Did you plan to call in? They're like, no, but we just know each other. So, I was like, wow. that was like very interesting, but it does tell you that men, if you get them into a position where they feel comfortable, they will share. You'll hear their point of view, and they will let you know how they feel about different topics. So I feel quite blessed to have them be a part of what I'm doing, because I think the ladies can listen in and learn so much from the guys. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, it would be interesting to hear those wives' perspectives. I mean, I wonder what they might think. I wonder what they're thinking. Like, okay, well, you used to take me out to dinner, and you don't take me out to dinner.
Yeah.
it
can be little things that are putting them off.
I mean, I'm just wondering what's their side of the story.
Well, I tried to get it. I was like, what's going on for the ladies? Why would you be, locking out on your relationship? There must be something that you're not happy about. And it is communication because, it isn't one-sided. You're absolutely right.
That's a hot topic.
That's right. That's a hot topic
when we talk matters of the heart on Wednesdays. Bottom line, communication, how we communicate with one another, male and female.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. That's very interesting.
I want to do a new show this week coming up on, some guys have all the luck.
Some chicks have all the luck, too.
Yeah.
Wow. Some chicks have all the luck, too, but some guys have all the luck. That's interesting.
Yeah, and some girls have all the luck. That's absolutely true because you see really great guys and they're with awful women and you wonder what's going on. How do you manage to how do these women manage to get the guys who are great guys and you see the guys and they're not even that happy, but they're with these women and they're tripping over themselves to make them happy. Like, what the hell? How do they get away with it? And then you have guys who have no luck, who are great guys, nice guys, and they never get the woman. They never get it. They have all the bad relationships, yet they're the good guys, So we do have that thing, don't we, about good guys and good girls. The bad girls, the bad guys always seem to get it. They always seem to get what they want.
Wow.
And the good people never do.
That's going to be this week.
Yeah.
This coming up week.
Yeah. That'll be on Tuesday. That's what we're talking about. Some guys pull the luck. Because I think that a lot of people feel like, I don't want to, or even guys might think, I want to be a good guy, but I don't want to miss out. I don't want to miss out by being labeled a good guy. And then you have women who are good women and they see everybody else, out there, the girls with the booties and the Beyonce look and the whatever, and they're getting the guys, right?
Wow. I mean, that is amazing. And I've been one of those, be honest, I have been one of those chicks too where, just seem like you had a mind's touch. Date and have guys of just dream guys at all of yourself. I have been in that position before, but then also I have experienced, oh my God, I can't win for losing. You know? So that, like, you know, like, oh my God, what is going on?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And so, it's just that touch, because a lot of times, you're right. It might have something to do with a person's looks, and maybe not. Because a lot of times we see couples, like, sometimes people, I mean, I'm not one of those people, but don't you see a couple and you wonder, how did he get her? Or how did he get him? You know?
Yeah.
it's something. Something's happening. Something that person did right to get that person or to get different people to just fall at them.
Yeah.
So that is a good topic, and hopefully some of your participants will explain to people how they're one of those.
They did it.
They have all the luck.
Yeah.
But,
how did you get that luck?
But sometimes it's all in your. I guess it's just how you present yourself and how you carry yourself. But I know one thing, it's important that you're really being who you are. It can appear that a person is having all that luck, have all the luck, but if you're not really being who you are, then sometimes the situation can be a sad one. Because, you know, it might look interesting to those of us on the outside, but like, wow, he and she have all the luck, but then you find out, oh, wow, no one as happy as they can be or could be. But some people are as happy as they can be. And those are the people I want to know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, hey, how do you have all the luck?
Yeah, how did you make it, you know, so that you just happen to get to pick the right person that, you know, and end up having been very happy with that person? You know, it's how you chose. How did you choose? You know, and what have you learned through that? You know, it's kind of those conversations, those nurturing almost conversations that need to happen. I learned something when I went away to Miami. I took my niece, and she's 26 years old. I took her with me, and we hadn't really been away together and done anything together. My sister actually adopted her. And her sister, who are twins, when they were 18 months. And I thought, if this is a great opportunity for me and them, you know, one of them to go. I wanted both of them, but they couldn't both make it. So for one of them to come with me and for us to go away, have a really great time together. And at the beginning of the trip, she wasn't very happy for a couple of days, and I didn't understand why. And, one morning I sat down, I said, right, what's going on? You know, why aren't you happy? And she said, oh, my boyfriend broke up with me just before I came out. And he's been sending me really horrible messages. And, and it upsets me because he's, like, telling me, I don't love you anymore and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, all right, so... You broke up with him. Why did you break up with him? And we had the conversation about, you know, what really was going on with this relationship. And I said, well, you know what? You broke up with him because you felt he was selfish. He wasn't giving what you needed to this relationship. And you broke it off, right? That's what she did first. You broke it off.
She broke up with him.
Yes, she did that the first time. And then they got back together and he broke it off. And now she's devastated because he broke it off. So I said,
wow.
So the reason why he broke it off, was that any different from the reason why you broke it off? And she said, not really. He was saying similar things to what I was saying. I said, well, then you both come to the position that it doesn't work for both of you. But the thing is that you need to learn is that you never let someone else destroy your happiness, okay?
Oh.
You don't allow it. Right, you don't allow.
Yeah,
but
you know what? Me, I suppose it's so for self-esteem. I allowed that to happen to me with my second marriage, and it's like everything just went downhill. You know, just my thing. Like I felt, I don't know, I didn't know it. But through just, I mean, that emotionally, that's where the weight gain came from, and then mm-hmm. other familial family issues, and just bad, just from being a person that's like, oh yeah, I, you know, I'm full of this. But I guess the second marriage failure, it was like the straw that broke the camel's back, I guess. But yeah, we can't allow situations to take away our happiness. You have to keep pushing. You have to keep moving on. I didn't mean, okay, you can go on. I just wanted to share that because I can relate to that.
No,
it's important to hear that. There are a lot of listeners listening now that need to hear that right now.
Yeah.
You know?
I was like, you cannot allow that. You cannot, you know, relationships should be about love and joy. And if you're with someone and, you know, and it's not that way, you are young. Do not waste your life, right, crying into your pillow about something that, you know, about something which is about that person. And it may even be about you too, because not everybody's compatible with the person that they meet. And when you work out that actually the two of you, you know, don't share the same values, you don't share the same interests, you know, he's more about himself than he is about it being, he's more about a me than a we, you just don't want to work that way with him, and you don't, it doesn't work for you, then, you know, don't try and have something just because you want to be there for the sake of being there, all right? Have it because it works. It makes you happy. I said, why would you be with someone and be sad? What the hell is that about?
Exactly. Genuinely happy is what's important. Exactly. That's a good point. It's, but sometimes we get that attachment where I just happy or sad or not, I'd rather be with this person. But that really beats us down, and that affects our other relationships.
Yeah. If you're not happy, it doesn't work for you. Make a decision and move on with your life. Because you know what? You'll just be stuck there in unhappiness, and you won't even see it, but everybody else will see it.
Exactly. And then you can be wondering, people love being around me. Why other people don't like being around me now? Then you really see, wow, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, this is why. Who wants to be around a sourpuss? You know?
What? Hello? You know what? It was day three, and I just, you know, she did it for a couple of days. Day three, I said to her, look, enough, right? I'm going to tell you this. We are not going to continue this holiday in this vein. You are going to fix up, sort your head out, get happy, and enjoy yourself, okay? Because that's what it's about. And I said to her, you know what, I could really go with you on this. You know what, I feel sorry for you, and I'm not going to feel sorry for you. I'm going to say you make decisions because they're the right decisions for you, okay? And if you decided to end that first, and nothing's changed, okay, be true to who you are and accept that it didn't work. You went back and it didn't work. So maybe you're unhappy that he actually did the same thing you did to him, but the same thing prevails. It doesn't work for either of you. Okay, so stop destroying your happiness. Just get on with it. You know, that conversation changed her thinking. And by day four, she was a different person. And we just had a great holiday for the rest of the time we were there. But, you know, she needed that wake-up call. She needed
just
someone to
enjoy this trip. Enjoy the vacation into the U.S.
Yeah, you know, you spent all this money to come out here, and you're allowing someone to poison your time. Are you mad? Are you crazy? I mean, and men do that too, because also it can be, and women will do that too. If someone knows you're having a good time and it's not with them and they're not part of it, sometimes they wanna poison it. Yeah. So I said to him, sending you texts saying, you know, I don't like you anymore and this and that, it's to poison your feelings right now so that you do not have a good time. And you're playing right in his hands, you know?
And I say cut off communications with those kind of people, because I have been in the situations like that with people. That's what happens when people, you know, okay, this person has been so in love with an eye of you, and all of a sudden they're belittling you, and I guess that's their purpose. Well, I don't want you to feel good about yourself and to go out there, and so it's good that She has an aunt who's a relationship expert, because the average person, I'm a person who have always had good esteem, but when you're in those little kind of relationships and people, a person that you thought loved you or cared for you a lot, when they're telling you these negative things about you, for some reason, you still, like, you let that go, get inside your, you know, your thought.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, well, if this person thinks about me this way, then other people probably think the same thing, which is not true, you know?
Not true. I mean, she came home, she changed her phone number. She told me she would, you know, she said that was it. She's going to cut off all connections. And I said, well,
yeah,
that's the right thing to do, because you know what? If someone is, you know, taking, if someone can affect you in that way to the point that, you know, you can't even smile anymore, come on. That person needs not to be in your space. They need to, and that's your psychological space, not even your physical, because he wasn't there physically, but psychologically, he had control of her space. And she needed to be free of that. She needed to be free. And once she was, you know, everybody was like, oh, wow, we don't recognize her. She's having such a good time. I was like, yeah. But she needed to know that you can't be stuck there. Get away from that, you know, let it go and take control of your life. Because you have
exactly. That is a very interesting point. I mean, I love it here in Jackson, Mississippi, and I love Dallas, Texas. I need to shout out my friends in Dallas, Texas too. With there's a birthday party going on for my friends who rock band Rest Ford in the Foundry. Got to shout you guys out. They having a birthday party. Shout out to everybody. Wish I was there. They have a drink for me. So I know they're partying, but a few of them might be listening. Have a drink for guys in Dallas. Like an hour ago, I just mentioned to my mom, I was like, my pets and I are going to pack up and go somewhere. You know, I love it here in Jackson, Mississippi, so my thing is a dual thing. Even when I come to England and I fall in love with England, hey, I'm going to really have to really earn money and get these businesses off the ground, because I'll be traveling back and forth, you know. But I'm like, my pets and I are going to pack up and we're going somewhere.
Yeah.
And, you know, but my thing is to return to Dallas. But then there are other cities also that I do love. And I know you love Miami. And Miami is always like my top five, you know.
Yeah.
But, sometimes you just have to step out your zone. And if it's not leaving your city, or just like back to what you were saying, your place of thought, your way of thinking. Sometimes it's not leaving. You can leave a place, because there are some people, they'll move to another city, but they still have the same situation going on.
Yes.
Have you ever seen people who say, well, I left to get away from this?
And it's still
sometimes
with you.
It'll go with you. You pack that up with you.
Because it's still in your psychological space. That's why. You know, so you have to get it out of, you know, you've got to take control. And when you take control, then you know that you are free. You are free because you freed yourself. But sometimes people don't get
that. That is a good point. You're free because you free yourself. But I think some of us feel like, oh, I would be free when this person does this for me in my life. But the power is within you.
Absolutely.
And if you're a person that believes in a higher power in God, that's the power. That's my power. You know, you believe and you pray, you know. but you have to make your effort to not allow another person to have that control of you. And that's in anything. I often hear people talk about their job conditions and their work conditions, or if they're business owners, their conditions with their businesses. And sometimes people allow their job and the people they work with control their lives. A young lady today was just telling me about how a supervisor dictates to her employees, you know, just dictates and talks to them any kind of way. Even professionally, you should not let that happen. I know we all need money, need to earn money, but you can't let people just take advantage of you personally and professionally, because that on-the-job experience affects your personal life. You're making money, that's affecting your personal life, if you're dealing with coworkers and bosses that, and if you're treating people like that, think twice how you treat your employees, you know, because that really affects people.
Yeah, I believe that. I absolutely think. Yeah, I think as well, you've got to recognize that what goes around comes around. So if you're that way with other people, you know that's going to come back to you at some point. You know, I think, you know, I always believe, you know, treat people how you want to be treated. It's a good way to be, definitely. Definitely.
Yeah, and that's a good way to be. And some people, they want to be treated a certain way, but they treat people like crap. And then they treat people on a pedestal. I'm like, wow, that's in love and in business, you know? Like, wow.
Why would you be that way? Why would you do that?
It's a certain type of treatment, but you don't treat people that way. And it goes into, we all have to evaluate ourselves also. Well, do we treat people that way, you know?
It's so true. Really, yeah,
so
it's true.
I would like to treat. I know I sound like you and I. We work out harder too, you know? And it's second nature, to be honest, if you have, you know, just proper manners.
Yeah. So true. So true.
Wow. This is just amazing. I'm so happy you're vacation. I knew it was going to be wonderful because I wondered if you were going to stay here.
I think my children did too. I was like told, please just make sure you come back home. Don't even try to stay in Miami.
Exactly.
I called the day I was leaving everybody, and I called them when I arrived, and then nobody heard from me until I got home. That was it.
No way! Because I sure was thinking about you and talking about you, and then when I couldn't listen to your shows on Tuesday, and then I was busy on Thursdays, I said, well, I know she's having a good time. And then when I would check your profile and seeing your topics where you did broadcast,
yeah.
I was like, wow. But I knew you.
They knew not to bother me. They knew not to. They were like, Mom, you really did not call. I was like, no, I gave you the number for the hotel. I gave you my cell. If you guys want to call, I said you can call. But know that I'm going to be having a good time. So, you know, call me when you like. And nobody called. Everybody was like, okay, Mom's on vacation. And I was on vacation.
You really didn't call anybody just to check in and be nosy.
No, I was like, I've got 7 days. They have me all the time. This is just 7 days. And do you know what? I'm just going to concentrate on having a good time. But I left it open. I did nip into Facebook a couple of times and put little messages so they could see I was fine and everything was fine because they're all on my Facebook. But so I did nip in and put little messages, but I didn't call anybody. No calls.
Yeah. But that was important right there, your activity on Facebook. Okay, are you broadcasting tomorrow, Tropical FM?
No, we're broadcasting at the end of the month. So it's once a month.
Okay.
So the end of the month, we will be back at Tropical. But, yeah, I just ever so often I had a little look at my Facebook, and then I'd send my son messages just saying, you know, I'm fine, everything's fine. But I left them with a little agreement. Don't call me unless it's a real emergency. Okay. No, seriously, you got to have time, downtime. Else you're forever got your head in what's going on, you know, at home. They're grown up. I'm quite lucky. They're grown up kids, you know, get on with it. You know, and they were fine. Everybody was fine. They were like, yeah, we had a good time too. We just got on and did what we had to do. Because they were still going to school. My son, my daughter is at high school. My son is at university. So the two of them literally, you know, supported each other and did what they had to do. And I came back and everything was as I left it. So, you know, I was happy. But, you know, sometimes you do need to, you know, your family need to know that you need time out. You need time out. Get that time out and you come back and you are more available and more in tune than you were before. So, yeah, it's good. It is good. But,
that
you know, I haven't had a holiday for a while. I haven't had a holiday since 2010. So, you know, I needed a break, definitely.
So your last holiday, where was your last holiday? Was it nearby or did you leave
the
country?
I went to Egypt for 10 days
Wow.
10.
When did you go to Cairo?
I went to not Cairo. We went to Luxor. We stayed on the Nile, Palace. Yeah, and I went with my best friend, and the two of us had a really great time. It was great. I did stay in touch because that was 10 days, and I'd never been to Egypt before. But we did a bit of a tour. We were treated so well. We stayed in a five-star hotel that was really lovely. And we were looked after like queens. And I love Egypt because actually they love people of black skin.
I love Egypt. I have loved Egypt culture, Arab culture, Mediterranean culture since I was a little girl. And you know that my second husband from Cairo. But I've always had friends from Cairo. One of my friends promised me he was going to take me to Cairo, even though my second husband's from Egypt. I didn't get a chance to go to Egypt, but I've had other friends from Egypt and have promised to take me. But there's so much going on in Cairo, but I guess Luxor and other places, there's not too much, you know, going on.
Luxor is nice. You would love Luxor. Much quieter, not so busy and commercial as Cairo, but lots of the old temples are there, you know, and great eating. We enjoyed it.
And what you were saying, they were treating you like queens, and they loved the black complexion, the darker complexion.
Yeah, because my friend who I went with, she's very light, very light, and she had been to Egypt at least sort of five times before I went, and she said, "We've got to go to Egypt because that's my favorite place." And I'll take you, and I'd never been. And
it sounds like my cousin who visits London and Paris so much.
A bit like that. But when we got there, as soon as we landed, I got out. We got out the plane. We were coming through into Egypt, and I would just meet guys who were. They were like, "Oh, hello, Nubian queen, you look so beautiful." And I was like, "Wow, what is that?" You know, just kind of walking up to me and saying stuff. And, they call you Nefertiti. Nefertiti, you look like Nefertiti. I was like, "Whoa, really?" You know what I mean? And wherever we went, we got free, you know, people gave us free stuff, you know, we just got treated so nicely. We went to shop and it was interesting. People just gave me stuff, gave me little gifts. It was lovely. We were just treated so well. And my friend was saying she had been at least five times on her own with her partner, other people. And she said, "Do you know what? I have never had that experience that I had with you." Never.
She was a queen. She was Nefertiti.
Yeah, she
was different when Nefertiti. It was different when Nefertiti traveled with
us. Yes, because people coming up to us, like, you know, we went to see the temples, and they had a part of the temples that they don't let you in. Sorry?
I was just saying, that sounds like a beautiful experience.
Yes, it was. But I remember going to the temples, and there was a bit of the temples that they don't want to show some people. You know, the people who are there, who live there, they don't want to give the tourists to see every bit, you know, because some of it they want to keep.
Very sacred.
Yeah, very sacred, some of the bits. And they let us in, me and my friend. They said, "Come on, we'll show you." And they took us in and let us look at certain parts they wouldn't let people into. And it was just because black woman, you know, people were saying, welcome home, everywhere you go. People were like, "Welcome home." Yeah. I was like, that is amazing.
That is amazing. Shout out to those, because you and I both have listeners everywhere, so big shout out to those of you that treated a Nefertiti.
Yeah.
With so much honor.
And I still have friends in Egypt today who still call me, who stay in touch, and, you know, and who are always telling me, "When are you coming back? When are you coming back?" And I think I'm going to
next summer take my kids to Egypt because they've been wanting to go. I mean, they like to go places that are quite live, but I don't think I'll take them to Luxor. I'll probably take them to, what's that other part? Sharm el Sheikh, where they have the nightlife and stuff, because that would be more
exciting.
I've heard
about the nightlife in Egypt. Pretty exciting, huh?
It is. But where we was, it wasn't like that. It was more you had the Nile, you could go on boats, you could walk, you could go out and look at things, you could go on, you could just enjoy the scenery and stuff and meet the people. So it was a quiet holiday in that sense for me. But, yeah, if you're taking youngsters, you probably want to take them to Sharm el Sheikh or Cairo, somewhere like that, where it's a little bit more buzzy and live. So I think next year that probably will be, as they're both be finishing up, my daughter will be going to university, so it probably will be the right time before she starts university to go and check out Egypt or somewhere else in the world where they want to go. But I think we've talked about going to Egypt, back to Egypt, so maybe they will come to Egypt and we will have fun. But, yeah, it's nice. I liked Egypt. I really did like it. Great place. Yeah.
Wow.
And I found a picture of a statue of one of the pharaohs, and it's actually on my Facebook page. If you ever look into my pictures, I've got pictures of me in Egypt. But I've got a picture.
Well, I think I have seen some of your vacation pictures, so I have to look at them again. Okay.
Yeah. There's an Egypt one there, one with me of Annette standing next to one of the Egyptian pharaohs, and our features are exactly the same.
Wow.
It's amazing. The features are the same, same nose, same lips. So, you know, we have our heritage. We definitely do. And sometimes we don't see where we are, but it's good to go and look at the history and see. And we have a lot of linked history there. You know, Africans have their history historically linked to Egypt and other parts of Africa, and it's good to go check it out.
Wow, exactly.
Definitely.
Wow.
Oh,
so,
but
yeah,
Sorry.
What were you saying?
I was going to say, I'm going to have to go to bed now because it's like 5 o'clock in the morning here. And I've been up for a bit, and I could only be up for a bit because I fell asleep when I came in from working today, and I went to bed early. So I'm not too bad, but I'm starting to get tired now. So I think
I wondered if you had gotten over your jet lag plus the events. I know have really gotten to you.
Yeah, it's taken me a few days because I came back and I went to work. I came back on Thursday and went to work on Friday. So really, I didn't get a chance to properly rest. So I'm taking it in bits and pieces. I'm doing a lot of sleeping over this weekend. But yeah, by Monday, I'll be fine. I'll be back to normal.
Yeah. I did connect with Tropical FM. I missed listening to you all's last live broadcast, but I did check out the profile. And then the people at Tropical FM thanked me also for checking you all out.
Oh,
so I just went Tropical FM also. Seemed like a very awesome venture.
Yeah, we're very new. Well, the girls are new, but I've been with Tropical since last November. So they were my first kind of experience in broadcasting. And so, yeah, it was important for me to go back and do something more with them because that's where I started. But yeah, we're gonna look at growing the show and doing some more. Definitely, I want the ladies to do like 2 shows each month. But at the moment, we're just sorting ourselves out and working out how working out how we will work as a team because we haven't worked in that way before. But I love it. It was a good experience for us to do, to do it. And we're going to keep doing it, definitely.
Well, that's great. Best wishes to all of you. Again, before you go, let us know when it will be your next live broadcast and the time so we can tune in.
Yeah, the time and day will be Tuesday coming. So that is Tuesday the, hold on, the 15th. I think it's the 15th or...
16th.
Yeah, I think it's, hold on, no, I could be wrong.
15th.
Yeah, so 15th. Tuesday the 15th. And it will be 5 p.m. Eastern time or 4 p.m. Central time. But we, yeah, and that's 10 p.m. GMT time. So we're going to be talking out about some guys have all the luck. So some guys do definitely have all the luck in life. And what we want to do is to talk about how we get more luck. Those of us who aren't getting, you know, aren't getting the results that we want, how do we get those results? You know, how do we find that wonderful person if we're looking for someone to share our life or have some great experiences with? How do we do that? So, yeah, I should be with my co-host, Hilton, will be in with me, and Ms. Miller should be in as well. And, yeah, that's going to be the conversation. How do we...
Now, your gentleman co-host is in Texas, isn't he?
Yeah, we've got two shows, remember. The one on Tuesday, we have, it's co-hosted. Well, I have a resident coach with me, and Hilton Samuels, he's from the UK. He joins the Tuesday show. On the Thursday from Texas, I have Steve the Dean Williams, and we do the show that's called Marriage Endgame. So it's two different shows. Marriage Endgame is co-hosted with an American from Texas, and the one that is Ebony's Real Talks on a Tuesday includes it's all UK hosts. So it's Ms. Miller, she sits in with me. She also sits in with me on a Thursday, but she's on a Tuesday with me. And also Hilton Samuels, he's a relationship coach. So he's also part of that show.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it will be great if people can connect. But we're going to hopefully be having some great conversation about helping you to find, you know, some luck in your life by finding a good partner for you. And that could be a life partner, or it could be someone just to have great experiences with. But, you know, we all need a bit of luck in that area.
Okay. I know we have to, I know you have to go, and it's also time to conclude the show and real soon. But what about a person like me that's really not actively looking for love?
Yeah.
But really like, but want to be prepared when Cupid, I'm a romantic. And so not actively looking for love, because I feel like there are some things I need to finish tweaking about, you know, regarding myself. But want to be prepared when Cupid unexpectedly strikes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to present that question, you know, maybe for future shows or when we talk in the public. You might have a brief answer, but what about people? Because there are a lot of people who are out there looking for love and letting people know, hey, I'm looking for love. And there are people like me who are like, okay, I'm not actively looking for love, but I want to be ready when Cupid strikes. And I would love to be in love, but I'm going to enjoy getting back out and interacting and socializing with people, but at the same time, you know, there's just proper manners and proper way of doing things. And, you know, just want to be prepared. How do you be prepared when Cupid strikes unexpectedly? I've been hearing so many love stories. Love stories from people who unexpectedly fell in love, you know?
I'm about to go to a wedding in November, and this is a true story. A friend of mine, very good friend, we sat down it must have been about 4 months ago. We sat down in a coffee bar for about 2 hours and just talked about, you know, that whole experience of finding someone and finding the right person. And she was really, you know, oh my God, no, this cannot happen for me. I've tried. I've lived with someone for a while. You know, I've been in a recent relationship. The guy ended up marrying someone else. And I just want to find a special person for me. And we had that conversation. We were talking. In fact, the conversation went on for about 4 hours, not even two. We were there just talking about things that happened and how and what she was looking for and how she could find it. And I'm going to her wedding. That was just 4 months ago. And I'm going to her wedding on the 3rd of November.
Wow. So
yeah.
You're talking about... She's within 4 months, she met someone and fell in love, and now she's getting married
fell
in November.
In love, and she's going to marry this guy on the 4th of November.
Wow,
yeah.
That's soon.
Yes.
Wow, that is real soon. That's only over a couple of weeks. Wow,
and I can't believe it.
And I guess she was prepared, but if she wasn't prepared, she got prepared. She was looking for love, though. She was, in a way, prepared for that, but... I bet she was surprised when it happened so quickly.
Well, she was looking for love, but, you know, maybe in all the wrong places. And then, you know, someone appeared right in her world, someone on her level, someone who's a Christian, she's a Christian, someone who was divorced and, you know, was looking for love too. And they happened to meet just at the right time and had, you know, she's in events management. She was organizing an event. And she was organizing an event for him, for his something he was involved in. And she told me that during that week, that 1 week of organizing the event, the two of them worked together almost 24 hours a day organizing.
Wow.
The event. And at the end of it, almost the last day, they were taking a little time out to relax and rest and recoup before the actual event took place. And he asked her if she'd like to go shopping. And that was the beginning of everything.
Wow.
They went shopping and spent the whole day, ended up holding hands, you know, finding out that they had shared interests. You know, they both wanted similar things in life. They were totally, totally compatible. And in the space of a couple of months, they organized their wedding, and I'm going to their wedding in November.
Wow, that is amazing. She went from organizing an event for him to organizing their wedding.
Yeah.
I love stories like that. I'm a true romantic, and I love to hear those stories. Oh, my God, that is amazing.
It is amazing. So just when you think.
And so you're proof that you're really a professional relationship expert. People follow your advice. And look what happens.
And look, you know, and I was like, wow. She called me and she said, I have found someone. I said, are you joking? She said, no, I have found someone. And he is the right person because, and she told me. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. And, you know, and they did the right thing too, you know, because they met so quickly. They've gone and had some relationship counseling and stuff. And, you know, because you're never sure if you're taking stuff with you from the past into the new relationship. And that could show up later. And so they've been doing their counseling. They've been, you know, they've been really working hard to make sure that it's right. Because, you know, they've only met each other in a short space of time. But, you know, they were both at the right place. And, you know, both have grown-up kids, both done their time and ready to meet someone now and have their own lives and enjoy the rest of their lives. And so, so pleased for them. So proud.
Well, congratulations to Brian. I hope she's listening. We are listening or will listen. Well, congratulations to her. That sounds amazing. That's a story. And, so the thing is not to be blind. That's another point of mine, not to be blind, because that match could be right in front of you.
Yeah.
While we were looking and see, and they were right in front of each other.
Yeah.
And so they didn't.
Right there.
So they were right there working together.
Yeah.
So they could have had a blind eye to one another.
Yes.
Yeah,
and
but they didn't.
He actually thought that she was with someone who was also working with them. So it could have maybe not even happened because he said, well, you know, I saw this beautiful woman. I'm like, she can't be single. There is no way. And she saw him and thought exactly the same thing. You know, he's a really good looking guy. He's really great. He's got to be in a relationship.
and found out that they're both single, both thinking the same thing, both having the same struggles with finding someone, and have found each other.
Wow. There's a guy or two that I think that way about, but I'm not saying anything. I've expressed to some, you know, to some people, hey, that, you know, some people obviously know, you know, because when you're in a person, a person, you pretty much know. But, you know, but then you sometimes you wonder, well, what does that person really think, the, you know, same way.
Right.
We all have, you know, things that we're tweaking in our lives, but, you know. And then sometimes it's good when you're supportive of one another.
Yeah.
And good things and things that you're just going through. But that is amazing because they could have had a blind eye against one another. And they didn't. They felt the vibe. They truly allowed themselves to come together when they went shopping. Where they already were working together, they felt that attraction anyway. But some people try to control that attraction. Wait a second, I'm working, doing this event for him. No way, you know.
Exactly, exactly.
She was open to looking for love. I guess she felt, this is my guy. And he must have felt, this is my woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's worked out lovely. So I got to, one of the things I got to do now is go get myself a dress, get that dress, and my hat for the wedding. So... yeah, it's going to be fantastic. I'm so proud of her. She's my very, very good friend. So I'm really pleased for her. So it does happen. You know, love pops up. Yeah, it happens.
So be optimistic and look at the glass half full. That's the good advice. You know, some people say, man, that's the wrong looking at it. Half, what is it, half full? What is it? Oh, my goodness. But I know you need to go, and I know it's time for the show to be concluding, too.
Okay.
But it's important for us to be optimistic, period.
Absolutely.
Maybe from what we've been talking with you,
it's
important
problem.
To be optimistic.
It's been great speaking to you.
It's great speaking with you, because you really surprised me. Because I figured, well, you know, okay, she's... it was a nice surprise. Love speaking with you. Saturday nights and other mornings and everything, but you really surprised me. I was like, Ebony Empress is online. Whoa.
Well, I woke up and I thought, I'm not tired now. Who can I go talk to? And most of my friends are out tonight and have gone partying and whatever. And, you know, I'm still getting over my jet lag and stuff and having worked today. And it was just like, you know, right. This is the right time to try and speak to someone. So I looked on and I saw you were live. So I thought, right, need to go talk to my girl.
Yay, cool.
That's great. Yeah, absolutely. All right. Well, you take care and have a great week. And, you know, and enjoy the rest of your shows coming up. Because I always see your shows. Even if I don't listen in, I try and listen to the podcast. So... I say to your listeners, listen to the podcast. She's got a great show.
Okay. Exactly. Monday morning, my guest will be a real estate investor who has been an awesome, longtime Facebook friend of mine. Handsome, handsome gentleman, but he is super talented. He's a real estate investor. So if real estate investing is of interest of yours, please tune in if you can early to Monday morning. It'll be afternoon for you. So
yes,
he was a guest on Monday, Neil Thacker. He's based in Chicago. And I should tell him this story, listening to your show also. And you might you might want to call in. But he's a successful real estate investor, and also he's like coaching others in business.
Ooh.
And it should be an interesting and fun talk on Monday in regards to real estate investing, and just he has that, just like you give that positivity, he loves to encourage others to be positive and to keep pushing and to think in a, you know, hey, I can overcome this.
That's right. That's the only way to be.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, I look forward to that. If I get a chance, because normally I'll be at work when you're on, but if I get a chance and I'm not too busy on Monday, I will definitely give you a shout and say hello.
That'd Okay. Well, it's been fun. And you catching up on your rest.
I will. And you take care.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye.
Say bye. Yeah, say bye.
Bye. Bye.
And we're so glad that you had fun over here.
I did. But take care, everyone. See you.
Okay.
Bye.
Again, I'm Stephanie Empress from the UK, host of Real Talk on Tuesdays and Marriage in Game on Thursdays, right here on blogtalkradio.com. I love her. Don't you all love her? She really does give good advice. I am listening wholeheartedly. I am a true romantic, but I do not consider myself a relationship expert. But I don't mind sharing my experiences and experiences of others that I have witnessed. But she, you see, her advice apparently works. That young lady, Smith, to her that she was looking for love 4 months ago, and now she's getting married on November 4th. So you never know what's just around the corner. But again, thank you, Ebony Empress, for calling, giving us the 411 in regards to your trip here to the U.S. in the city of Miami, and in regards of what's going on with your shows. We really appreciate you, and thank you for the love. But most importantly, I thank you all, the listeners of Coast of Shock Entertainment Reports, and especially the weekend edition. And my apologies again for the show not broadcasting last Saturday, but it was part of the Thursday night broadcast also. But I know I've been having trouble getting my chat room open. So those of you that might have been in the chat room, for some reason my chat room would not open tonight. So I'm going to make sure that it's rectified for the next broadcast. But here's a PSA, and we'll put a little bit more good music in. If we can talk a little bit more entertainment lifestyle news, we definitely will. Okay? Thank you.
Me? I started smoking when I was 13. I always thought when the time came, I could quit. No problem. Then at 28, I tried to go cold turkey, and I found out how hard it really was. I made it all day without a smoke. Right until I met up with the guys. But I learned something that night. In fact, every time I tried to quit, there were more than a few. I learned a little more about what worked and what didn't work for me. And when I realized that I wasn't alone, that most people don't quit on their first or second attempt, I knew there was still hope. Today, I'm an ex-smoker. My only advice is to never, ever give up trying to quit.
If you're trying to quit smoking, the American Lung Association is here to help every step of the way. Visit quitterinyou.org for tools, tips, and stories from smokers we've helped to finally quit for good. The American Lung Association. We support the quitter in you at quitterinyou.org.
Hi, I'm Shawn Johnson, Olympic gymnast. I was born with an Apgar score of 0, but I went on to win gold. Every baby deserves that chance, to grow up and shine. That's what March of Dimes is all about. Help me and the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects. Let's work together for stronger, healthier babies. To get involved or to make a gift, visit marchofdimes.com.
Hola, soy Talía. Muchos de ustedes me conocen como actriz, cantante y artista, pero mi papel más importante es el de ser mamá. March of Dimes me ayudó con excelente información durante mi embarazo. Cada año más de 500,000 de bebés nacen muy temprano y sufren serios problemas de salud de por vida. Yo apoyo a March of Dimes porque deseo ayudar a que esto cambie. Ayude a combatir el nacimiento prematuro. Visite nacersano.org.